There's something characteristic about Abraham and about Isaac and about Jacob. The Bible tells us historically what these men did as a pattern of life. When they came into the promised land, for an example, Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, when he followed God in obedience, didn't know where he was going, just trusted the Lord by faith. The scripture says everywhere Abraham went, he built altars and he pitched his tents. He built his altars and he simply pitched the tent. You see, pitching a tent means that I'm not staying in a place very long. My tent is easy to pick up and move on, but I'm going to put the permanence while I'm dwelling in this tent to just move out of here. I'm going to make the permanence, not in my dwelling, but in my worship. I'm going to build an altar. He built his altars, lifestyle worship, and simply pitched his tents. We get it reversed in our day. We build our tents, our homes, and we pitch our altars wherever we want. Because worship is something that we do temporary, but we plant it in this old world. But I want to tell you, God's called us to be sojourners, pilgrims, passing what? Through this world, not to get caught up in this world, but make lifestyle worship part of who we are. And when we live that away, you know what God does? Man, God blesses. He blesses. He blessed Abraham richly. He blessed Isaac richly. He blessed Jacob richly when they were what? Building their altars and pitching their tents. You know, there's only two times that Abraham didn't build an altar and pitch a tent. Only twice. And you know when that was? When Abraham went down to the Philistines and he went to Egypt. And when he went to Egypt and he went to the Philistines, Abraham did this twice. Y'all remember that story? Remember when Abraham told his wife, told Sarah, said, look, please tell the men of this place that you're my sister. Because you're beautiful, they're going to want you. And if they want you, they're going to kill me for you being the husband. That's the only way to have you. But if I'm your brother, they're going to come to me and they're going to ask me if they can have you. Well, one of these kings brought Abraham all kind of camels and all kind of goods, and Abraham received it as a brother. You know how the New Testament says in 1 Peter that Sarah called Abraham Lord? Y'all recall that? You know why she called him Lord? That's not how she operated in everyday life as her husband. She trusted God enough and put Abraham in God's hand and referred to Abraham as her Lord, meaning her brother who had authority over her as a protection over her that kept her safe, him safe. She didn't agree with Abraham on these things. The scripture says she committed to God. And you know what God did on behalf of Sarah's faith? Not only did he protect her, but he protected Abraham as well. But while he was with the Philistines and while he was in Egypt, he did this twice. Isaac's following in his footsteps. Abraham did not build an altar and he didn't pitch his tent. It's the only time he gets out of order of things. And the scripture says a man that was to be a blessing to all the nations, you know what started happening to the people around him? God put a curse on him because of Abraham's disobedience. And he closed up the wombs of the women and none of them could give birth while he was there. Why? Because the man who was to operate under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty, the one who was to trust God with his life, not Pharaoh, not Abimelech, not with their protection, but with God's protection. And when he misrepresented God and wasn't living a lifestyle of worship, and he was building his house and he was just pitching his altars, what happened is God shut the favor off and the blessings off, just like he did with Isaac. The single most blessed man on the planet is unfruitful and unfaithful. And he has a private romance behind the scenes so nobody can see what he's doing with his wife. You know, there's a lot of preachers out there and there's a lot of servants out there that are fearful that if they stand on the Word of God and stand up and proclaim, thus saith the Lord, that they may lose, quote, unquote, their job. So they have this private romance with the Word, and they burden and they love it on the Word of God or with God behind the scenes, but they would never stand on it in front of people because they're afraid they'll lose their job or lose something. Many people do this on the job. They're afraid they'll lose their job if they took a stand for the gospel and they proclaimed, then they love people the way God loved people, that people will see them differently and they'll lose their job. And that's what's going on in our country right now. People that are blessed and favored by God, but hiding that behind the scenes. Why? Because they're letting the world squeeze them and mold them. And the world is just throwing dirt on top of a well that the Father has dug. And there's no flow of Jesus coming out. And what revival is somebody helping them move the dirt and the debris and the pride and the unbelief off the well so that Jesus can flow. And that God's people can rejoice before Him and be proud of who they are and what they are in Him and trust Him. Whether they take our lives or whether they fire us or whether they mock us, whether they spit on us, that's regardless. You know, the New Testament talks about it like this. Paul asked the church at Galatia, he says, "Who has bewitched you?" You see, that's dirt on a well. Who's bewitched you and told you that you need to be in the performance factor when God's done all that He's done in grace? You didn't receive Him because you were good. You didn't receive Him because you were right. You didn't receive Him because you performed the law. God poured out His favor on you by grace. You didn't do anything to deserve it. Matter of fact, He lavished His mercy upon you in Christ Jesus. But you letting someone bewitch you and tell you that you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to perform here and perform there. You're not doing anything to please God. You're doing what you do to be you trying to please men. See, that's dirt thrown on a well that the Father's dug that's keeping that flow. He says it over in the book of Colossians. He says, don't let this world cheat you. He used the word cheat there. Cheat you with philosophy. Philosophy just means to be fond of this world. And he says, vain and empty deceit. He says that won't get you anywhere with Christ. He says as you receive Christ and you receive Him by grace through faith, you receive Him by the Word, putting your faith in His Word. As you receive Him, walk in Him. Don't let anybody cheat you. Don't let them throw any dirt on the well and you become fond of this world we live in. God's left you in this world to be a difference maker, to be a disciple maker, to be a gospel preacher. He's left you in this world to be a stranger in here, sanctified by the Spirit, walking in the selection and the favor of God, a relishing in the living hope that we have in the resurrection, that nothing can kill you. Matter of fact, if God's ready to take you home, there ain't nothing going to stop it. Amen? You're indestructible until God's ready to take you home. There's nothing that's going to take you out of here accidentally. There's nothing that's going to remove you from this earth because it wanted to take you out. I want to tell you, when you belong to Jesus and you walking with Him, you are under the sovereign care of the Almighty. Not one hair on your head falls without Him noticing it. Amen? And we can trust Him and walk with Him. But because Isaac feared loss, because Isaac feared for his life, he operated out of self-centered interest, and it prevented him from being fruitful. It prevented him from being faithful. It prevented him from fearing God and putting God first in his life. And that affected his harvest. That affected his worship. That affected everything in his life. But you know what? The simple confession of coming clean and honest before the people that he was around and before the God that had called him, soon as he come in agreement and confession with God, you know what the Scriptures teach us? He planted a seed and the man reaped a harvest, which tells us previous he was there for a long time and he wasn't fruitful nor was he faithful. But when he got things right with God, when he got things right with the people in his life, when his representation as an ambassador of the glory of heaven was accurate, God bless the man. And I believe that's, what we need. Just come and claim before Him, amen? God's not threatened by anything. And all God's people said, there's not anything in your past, there's not anything going on in your life right now that He doesn't already have an answer for. He's not threatened. God's wisdom is not threatened by anything. That's why wisdom rests in the heart of those who have understanding. That's why wisdom is approachable, why wisdom is easy. That's why wisdom is gentle and kind, because wisdom is never in a defensive mode. When people are defensive and they're threatened by something, they bristle up and they are resistive and they're unapproachable and they're inaccessible. But wisdom is never that away. Why? Because there's not one thing in this world that threatens the wisdom of God. And God says, I want to give you my wisdom. I want to pour out my wisdom upon you, but I won't pour my wisdom out upon you unless you are upright with me. And that simply means we just getting honest with Him, trusting Him, depending on Him, not being filled with pride or philosophy or cheated by the law or anything that we can do, but we are poor in spirit. That means we're deflated of ourselves, and God has all access to fill us up with Himself. And when we're in that place, what He does, He fills or revives us for His work, for His missions, His assignments, and we get to do it with a glad heart. We get to do it with thankfulness. We get to do it rejoicing in our spirit, and we walk with a new step. Our priorities are different than what they were before we've gotten honest with Him. And we just clear things. We clear the air before the Lord and say, God, You are who You say You are, and I'm at Your mercy. Do with me what You feel necessary You need to do. I am ready for You. And what God does is something that we, really, man, can't explain. He begins to do a work of peace in us that goes beyond our understanding. And He lets us celebrate life. He lets us celebrate grace. He allows us to celebrate one another. And we begin to enter into the hurt of other people because we're not threatened by what they're going through, because we know God has an answer. If He had an answer for me and what I was going through, I know He's got an answer for them and what they're going through. And He's going to help me love people. He's going to help me live to bless people. And I'm not going to be a taker who is always taken from everybody. I become that giver who pours out my life. I become a waterer for the Lord. As Proverbs 11:25 says, he who waters shall be watered himself. Isaiah 12:3 says that in the day of grace, He says, with joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. You see, when God's working us in His grace, what we're doing is tapping our bucket. We're throwing our bucket in other people's wells that He's dug, and we're pulling out living water, and we water in someone else. And you're walking through this life being watered by God and watering other people. And I want to tell you, that's a man and a woman or a boy or girl that's making a difference in this life. They're not being squeezed out by this world. They're not threatened by what they're around or who they're with. No, they're walking under the wings of the shadow of the Almighty. They know who they serve. They know what they're doing. And they are intentional in their worship. Intentional in their witness. Intentional in their celebration. Because they know they've given glory to Jesus. That's a blessed place to live. Amen. Confidence, compassion, courage, conviction becomes words that characterize that person in the assignment that God has given them. Courageous. I've never met a man in my life that was courageous for something that didn't understand they were accountable and responsible for what they was courageous in. You become accountable and responsible before God in the assignment He's given you. you'll have the courage to embrace whatever you have to embrace for His glory. If you're not accountable and responsible to Him, you will cower down in whatever comes your way. But you become accountable and responsible. As He told Joshua, Joshua, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because God had outlined His accountability and His responsibility to him. And when you have those, you can be strong and courageous in the Lord. Amen. How many of you feel, like me in my own walk in the past, that you've let this old world throw a little dirt on that well that the Father's dug in you? And you've been blessed when people come along and noticed, and they helped you. They was an encourager. They took the shovel out, and they started uncovering that well. And before you know it, life began to flow in you again and flow out of you. And you begin to celebrate, and you begin to serve other people, and you laid your life down for the glory of God.